Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 29. This is the reading of God's word. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word. Bless the man who preaches your word, that he would preach your word correctly, and bless all of us who are hearing of your word. As we hear your word, let our faith grow, and with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ. And let us love him with everything we have. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This will be the last sermon on Matthew. We are stopping at end of the Matthew 7. And starting next Lord's Day, we will begin looking at the book of Revelation. So let us finish the Sermon on the Mount today. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, has come. God has come. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is the King of the kingdom of God. He, through the Sermon on the Mount, proclaims the coming of the kingdom of heaven. He proclaims the gospel of the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, the prophets of God brought the word of God saying, thus says the Lord. But our Lord Jesus Christ, who is that very Lord and God, says, I say to you. He says in verse 24, who hears these words of mine. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day. Do you see it? God himself has come. He has brought to his people his kingdom. And now the reality of that kingdom is revealed, and the true pictures of the citizens of that kingdom has been witnessed. These citizens of the kingdom, they enter the narrow gate and they walk the narrow way. But many false prophets come into the church. They will teach the wide gate and wide way. They will bring the gospel of this world They will perform many miracles. They will cast out demons. And they will teach different gospel, which is not even the gospel. Brothers and sisters, note well that performing many miracles and casting out demons and even teaching in the name of Jesus Christ are not by themselves the good fruits of our religion. Those things are not important. What is important is that the true gospel is taught and preached. The good fruits in our context, as you saw already, is teaching and preaching the true word of God. But so many churchgoers accept the false gospel so easily and so readily, so willingly. Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me." He is not saying that he does not know who they are. He knows who they are. He knows what they have done. What he is saying is that he does not have any relationship with them. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there are two worlds, heaven and this world. There are two kings, Jesus Christ and Satan. There are two kinds of citizens, the citizens of heaven and the citizens of this world. There are two kinds of life, the life that belongs to heaven and the life that belongs to this world. The question is this then: where do you belong? What king do you serve? What life do you have? Who are you, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Do you belong to heaven or do you belong to this world? Do you remember from the very beginning Jesus preached? Jesus is not telling us that we must do our best to be this kind of people. Through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has drawn for us the true pictures of citizens of heaven. And from the very beginning, he was not telling us that we must do our best to be this kind of people. What he was telling us is that we are this kind of people if we belong to him. He has already made us this kind of people if you are a Christian. His people are this kind of people. It was a glorious picture that he showed us. Do you believe? Do you believe him? Because it will be according to what you believe. God here is not showing to us options. Either you are or you not. What is your belief? And if you believe, then you will obey and witness. By faith, you will be able to live the very life that our Lord is working in you to live. In our passage, again, two kinds of people are seen. One, the true citizen of heaven, he hears the word of God and acts on it. the other, the false, the citizen of this world, he hears the word of God but does not act on it. Again, two kinds of people. One hears God's word and he obeys. The other hears God's word but does not obey. The one lives by faith and the other not. Now let's compare these two people. Both build houses. Now if you focus on those two houses, on the outside, both houses are identical. They're building the same house. Well, two houses, but they look the same. But one builds his house on the rock, the other on the sand. The houses are identical, but their foundations are not the same. Both build the houses with diligence. But ultimately, the house that is built on the rock stands, whereas the house that is built on the sand falls. Great was its fall. The first thing that I want you to notice is this, that these two people, they both hear God's word. It's not like one person heard it and the other person did not. They both heard God's word. That's the very first thing that you must realize as we look at this. And it seems that the rain and the flood and the wind, they came to the same region. Thus, both houses are in the same region. Thus, we conclude that the one who builds on the sand, he too is one who is already in the church. We are not talking about one person who is in the church and the other who is outside of the church. They both hear God's word. They are both in the church hearing his word. Just like the false prophets, do you remember? False prophets are already in the church. They are not outside of the church. When we call someone false prophets, they are already in the church. They are members of the church. They are teachers of the church. The one who built his house on the sand, he too hears God's word. He is a member of the church. He is a member of a visible local church who profess the false faith. Oh yes, it's possible to deceive the session. But of course, it's not possible to deceive God. Yes, false ones are in the church. Yes, they are not member of invisible church. They are not member of heaven, but they are members of local church. We see this all the time in the Bible. The Old Testament Israelites, all of them were covenantal people of God. They are members of God's kingdom in the Old Testament. They were in the covenant. They were members of the covenant. They personally received the word of God. They even bragged about receiving the word of God at Mount Sinai. It is their pride of these Israelites. They received the word of God. Many of them heard God's word but did not act upon it. Well, they did not believe. Though they were members of God's covenant, though they were citizens of God's kingdom, which was the type of the true kingdom of God, the church, just like them, we have many people who came into the church, who have made false profession of faith, who are members of visible church. These people, they build their houses on the sand. They come to church. And in terms of verse 22, they even teach and preach false gospel. They perform miracles. They cast out demons. They come out to Bible studies. They come to worship. They serve. And they do them very well, at least outwardly. But they are building their houses on the sand. The issue is upon what foundation are they building their houses? See, we are not even talking about who comes out to worship, who comes out to Bible study. Even fake ones can do that. We're talking about what kind of faith. We're talking about whether that person has a faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, no matter how diligently you serve, you're building your house on the sand. Do you truly believe that is the question. Do you truly believe? Because without that faith, without really truly believing, no matter what you do, is waste. First Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11 said, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Even in the Old Testament, our God is portrayed as the rock. Jesus Christ is our rock. Psalm 18 verse 1 and 2, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." That rock, that God has come. He is Jesus Christ. Now He is the center of everything. He is the center of our religion. He is the center of our lives, the center of our purpose and meaning. Thus, no matter what we do, if we do not do them by the faith in Jesus Christ, then all is vanity. You must build your house on the rock. Otherwise, all you have done in your life will fall. And the great is the fall. We must do everything in terms of what we believe about who Jesus is and what He has done and what He has accomplished. Jesus Christ is the content of our faith. And we must live our lives by faith. We must live our lives by faith, in faith, through faith in Jesus Christ. We do everything in terms of who He is, in terms of what He has done, in terms of what He has accomplished, in terms of who I am in Jesus Christ, in terms of what kind of reality of heaven that is already true of me. We must believe. And we must live our lives according to that belief, according to our faith. Brothers and sisters, to you is given this true faith. And that faith will make you witness Jesus Christ and the reality of heaven that He has accomplished for us. That faith will clearly demonstrate that you are building your houses on the rock. It's not about how successful you look outside. It's not even how you look successful in terms of all these church activities from outside. You have to believe. You have to believe who He is and what He has done, and what He has accomplished for you. That's what chapter 11 of Hebrews is all about. Abraham, but it's not, focus is not on Abraham, because every verse starts out by the word faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. Focus is not on those people. Focus is on faith. And Jesus Christ is the perfecter. He's the author of faith. And this is what Jesus is speaking of here. If we have that faith, then what does that faith will make us do? What will that faith make us do? Because that faith will never just do nothing. That is not what the Bible teaches. Because if you have genuine faith, this faith will make you do something. It will make you obey. Obey your God. The true Christians, they hear the word of Jesus Christ and they obey them. Of course, we'll never be able to obey Him perfectly until we go to heaven. But we do obey. It's not about just because we are not able to obey perfectly that it is okay just not even to think about obeying. We are the ones who build our houses on the rock. Listen very carefully what James says in James chapter 2, verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. I think Calvinists really have to listen carefully to these words. Yes, it is God who predestined us to be like His Son. And if you truly believe that, If I believe that God predestined me to be like Christ, don't you think if I really believe that, that I will do my best to be like Christ? Because that is my belief that He's working in me to make me more and more like Christ. How would my belief in that would translate in my life? If that is what God is doing, then that's what I will be doing. That is our faith. James chapter 1. I told some people yesterday, I'd rather always have you hear the word rather than read the word during the sermon. The reason why sometimes I say let's go to some passages that when I see some of you falling asleep. You are here to hear God's word. Nobody forced you to come. You have come because you want to hear His word. Go to sleep early Saturday night. Your life should be centered around this worship. You arrange everything in your life in terms of this worship. Because if you do not do that, you're not doing the right thing. This is what Christianity is all about. This worship. Worshiping God now and forever. So you arrange everything in terms of this. Yeah, I don't want to hear how busy you were Saturday and all these things you had to do. Because this worship is what your religion is all about. And again, we're not saying do your best to be like this. You are already like this. God made you His people who love worshiping God. That's who you are. If you're a Christian. James chapter 1 verse 21. Therefore putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. No, these verses are not teaching salvation by works. Definitely not. But they do teach that those who are truly saved will do what God says. They will obey. They will diligently obey. First John chapter 2 verse 3 through 6, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. It's pretty clear. You say you know Christ and you have no intention, no desire to obey him, you are a liar. Of course, all of us, we cannot obey him perfectly. We're not talking about that. But if you say you know Christ but have no desire to obey God, you're a liar. No desire to know what God wants from your life. That just doesn't happen. Because Bible says, if you are a true Christian, you will have that desire. The true Christians do not think lightly about sinning against God. They truly want to obey God and thus do their best to obey God. And when they do not, they truly repent of their sins. Otherwise, there is no way for one to have the assurance that he or she is a true Christian. That you have no desire to obey God. How can you be assured that you are a Christian? That you take sinning so lightly that it doesn't even matter to you. That you do not even concerned about it. That there is no desire to be like Christ whatsoever. What gives you assurance that you are a true Christian? What? Remember, this person who is building his house on the sand is already a member of the church. And I'm not trying to scare you here, but I'm trying to show you how ridiculous it is for a Christian to live like not non-Christian. It is utterly ridiculous. Titus 1:16a says, these false ones, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19, nevertheless the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. The firm foundation of God stands. Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. We must do everything in Jesus Christ according to his word through faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 verse 29b, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You want to do the work of God? Then believe in Jesus Christ. The purpose of God is that the image of Jesus Christ be perfected in his people. The purpose for us, God's purpose for us, is to imitate Christ and be like Christ. And his purpose will be fulfilled. That Jesus Christ's image will be perfected in you. And your life has to show that. Your life has to show that progress. Otherwise, how can we say that I am becoming more and more like Christ every day? Now, of course, I'm not talking about you having the confidence of your salvation by looking at what you do. That's why we're talking, having that confidence in Jesus Christ and what He has done. Go to Jesus Christ, but by faith in Him, that faith will make you more and more like Christ. It's not just one or the other, it's both. Yes, you are saved by faith and faith alone, but that faith will make you like Christ. Because God is effective. His will be fulfilled. The believers, by the work of God in them, will obey. We are not to just wait as if Christian life is automatic. That is not God's design. You need to practice righteousness. No, I'm not saying you need to live like that to be saved. I'm talking to Christians already, people who are already saved. See, that's not a question. We're not questioning your salvation. You're already saved. Now what? The Christian life is not automatic. Do not wait to obey. Obey now. Do not just wait until the desire to obey comes, but repent now and obey. And we must obey diligently. Like Jesus Christ, who has said in John chapter 4, verse 34b, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Jesus Christ, as He lived His life here on earth, His food was to do the will of God. And that is our food. Brothers and sisters, seek to be holy and watchfully obey. Believe and obey. Remember, faith without works is dead. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to read from verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, again, same concept here, hearing the word. These people, they actually heard it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what he has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. He falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some a hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. Do you see it? The previous three, all four of them hear the word. But the first three, they do not have faith. They don't believe. They don't understand. Only the last one understands and believes. Thus, he bears fruits. The rain fell and the flood came and the winds blew and slammed against the house. According to many passages from the Old Testament, like Ezekiel, the picture here, the rain coming, flood coming, wind blowing, a picture is of the judgment of God. But also, it is also a picture of many sufferings and afflictions in God's people's lives. Whatever they are, the house that is built on the rock will not fall, but stand forever. Do you see the promise of God? The promise of God is that the house that is built on the rock will not fall, but stand. That is the promise that you could hold on to. If you build your house on the rock, it will not fall. Like I said before, this whole sermon is not to scare you, but encourage you to build your house on the rock. And have that promise from God that it will not fall. So that your work, your life will not be wasted. But it will be fruitful. God promised it. Yes. Rain will come, flood will come, wind will blow. Man, life is hard. But with faith, you will endure. And endure even with joy. And if those things are a picture of God's judgment, this gives even better news. That you and I, if we build our life upon the rock, we will even endure the final judgment of God. We will stand the judgment of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ has already received that judgment in our places. That is your faith. You believe. Brothers and sisters, build your life on the rock. Do not build your house on this world. Build on the righteousness of the blood and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Him alone. Believe in Him and obey Him. Because that is what our religious life is all about. Love Christ and worship Christ. Glorify Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we who build on the rock, confess with the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 1 verse 20-21, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, brothers and sisters, when I look at you and look at myself,
I'm not comfortable.
But you and I, we heard his word today. And we'll go out and obey. Let's truly love our Christ so that I will be able to give you that confidence and that you will be able to give me that confidence as we see one another, as we encourage one another by our lives. That indeed God is working in our church, indeed that God is working in us, that our faith is genuine, that we truly believe. Brothers and sisters, let's come to Christ and truly believe Him so that with that faith we are able to build our houses, build our lives on Jesus Christ. So that we will stand, we will not fall. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are the foundation. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which we build our houses. Oh, Father, we believe, but help us with our unbelief. Bless your people that we may believe and that we will live our lives in terms of that faith. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.